Hey kiddies, Adam Carolla here, and guess who's coming to Detroit? That's right, me, Thursday, January 30th. Motor City Casino Hotels Soundboard. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Come on out and say hi. Hey, Chickpeas, Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital.
Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Haley Joel Osment, plus Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, a spirited round of blah blah blog, and home improvement advice from Adam's buddy Ray in an edition of Just the Tip. And now, here to teach you about joy and letting go of fear, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that's what I learned at the Golden Globes. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. Thank you so much for sharing it with a friend. I love the stories when the dads and the sons and the mothers and the daughters come to the show and they turn each other on to the show and the coworkers. We love you.
Yeah.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
This dude gets more boxed than the Memphis hub of FedEx.
Requested by numerous people on Twitter with the hashtag, of course, Top Drop.
Love the DFG. Ray Oldhofer is in studio.
Nice.
Ace on the House, or Ace on the Roof, as my dad calls it, is a show we do here on the network.
Yeah, and hello.
You can check that out on Saturdays. Now, the funniest one is everybody thinks my dad said, hell yeah.
No.
But you know my dad well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No way.
No.
Not a chance in hell.
Hell yeah.
No, the context was, you know, 2007 or something like that. And I think somebody like Dave Damashek or something said, did you go to any of Adam's football games or have you seen the man show? And he went like.
Hell yeah.
He went like, yeah. But it sounded like hell yeah, but it was like a stammer and a yeah, which sound like hell yeah. But my dad has never said hell and yeah.
I don't think he ever has. That's never
left his mouth.
No. Hell yeah.
Can I stand by hell yeah for comedic purposes?
Yes.
Okay.
That you can stand by.
Because it says here on the drop machine, Dad, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I asked him today. Saw him today.
Did he say hell yeah?
Yeah. I walked in the door and said, hell yeah. Take a seat. Let's talk, motherfucker.
Then it could be a forearm bash like Jose Canseco.
That's right.
That's so interesting. I had always thought you had just taken two things that he said and like reordered them.
Oh,
I didn't
no.
realize he actually made that sound.
Hell no.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, it sounds like he says hell yeah, and he may audibly say hell yeah. There are times when you mix up not your words, but your pronunciation, and it sounds like something else. My dad has just never said hell yeah. He stammered and said like, oh yeah. And it came across as hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Great.
There's quite a movement on the internet to have Ray make a movement in my rust-colored ski beanie. I have a burnt orange ski beanie.
I'd be happy to, by the way.
Lynette doesn't like it. Okay. We know what Ray does with ski beanies he doesn't like. Or when you ask him to return a ski beanie.
Sure.
Either way.
Can I borrow that one? Yeah, you're noggin right now.
He defecates in them. And famously, back, and I remember, Ray, you were living in your apartment with the family over on Magnolia at this point, and it could have been in the eighth grade, something like that. I'm not sure what grade you were supposed to be in, but we're in eighth grade.
Oh, it's funny. Where'd you get the burnout shirt?
Just stating the facts.
Lady.
Just stating the facts. Either way, when I asked for my Rams beanie back, Ray handed it to me like a sack lunch, and inside was not a BLT.
It was my sack lunch.
Well, it was a sack lunch.
Yep. It was a sack lunch, and Ray had defecated inside of it. So when Lynette took to Twitter to want to know if she should burn the burnt, ironically, orange beanie that I have that she's tired of, everyone fired back with have Ray fire into it.
Are there any pictures of this on the website,
Isn't,
this beanie?
I think
you wear it every single day.
Every picture. Yeah.
We've all seen it numerous times.
He's making a...
It's with his fucking sweats and everything else
funny.
He wears.
Yeah.
Oh, he was making it funny?
All right.
Where'd you get that shirt, Ace?
I'm happy.
Who bought it for you?
I'm happy to say it was given to me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm happy to say that the guy who gave it to me showed up to my house to fix my computer, and I was wearing it. And when I opened the door, he gave a, all right. And I gave a, all right. I have no idea what it says. I have no idea that it had any connection whatsoever to him. And then he goes, love the shirt. And I'm like, digging your print as well, brada. A lot of shirt conversation for a guy who's going to fix a computer. And then he said, that's my shirt. And then I gave him, oh, yeah, yeah.
But you're, really no the best, yeah. You're really the best person for Hell someone yeah. to give a shirt to that has branding on it.
Yeah.
Because you will wear it oh. a year at a time.
Next one that's coming out is the Rooster. Bung Lu Su's got a shirt. Yeah. I love that shirt. Dawson's wearing one right now. Believe me, Olga, my nanny, I had to wrestle that shit away from her. She was dying to get her mitts on that Bung Lu Su. Oh, Chris is wearing his.
I was going to say, you bring over free t-shirts to the warehouse. You will see them pop up again and again and again.
Food, t-shirts, again. Whatever you like. All right, Ray's got a little just a tip.
Where's the Cabo 89 shirt? Everybody had one of those. Remember?
No, they had the... Well, I remember the... Well, we went to the same junior high and high school. I remember the Hawaii 79. Hawaii, I used to look at that and goes, who the fuck goes to Hawaii?
How's that happen?
Who was number 79 who played for Hawaii?
Yeah. And then there's a Ski Mammoth one. Oh, Yosemite. Hike Yosemite. Ski Yosemite. There's all this whatever Yosemite.
Right.
Camp Yosemite.
Just people who went far away for a good reason.
Right. Yep. I went to Pismo Beach with Ray and his dad in a Toyota Corona station wagon.
Sure
once.
Did.
But that was my greatest, fondest memory.
Shirt, by the way.
Every outing that I can think of, like, let me go. You ever go motorcycle riding? Yeah, I used to go with Chris's dad. We used to go down Aquadosa Canyon. You ever been to Pismo Beach? Yeah, I went with Ray's dad and Ray down there. You ever been skiing? Yeah, Jeff Buck. How about water skiing? Yeah, Jeff Buck. I went snow skiing. Every single memory has someone else's family attached to it. It's a weird thing. I don't know if that's optimal for parenting. Like, your kid thinks back on, oh, yeah, I remember when I went snow skiing. I remember the first time I went water skiing. I remember the first time I lost my virginity. You weren't there, Dad.
What about something you did with your dad that you remember in youth?
I remember we were driving home in his VW Bug from...
The green one, the lime green?
No, it was a navy blue or black color one. The lime green one, that was 80s. A VW Rabbit.
Yeah.
This was a VW Bug. We're driving home, and the VW Bug, I remember where it was. It was on Wilshire, driving home from Santa Monica, from my cousin Vince's house in Santa Monica, Vince and Pat. And I said to my dad, I was probably about 10, obsessed with football. Wanting to play football. That was my dream. I knew I wasn't a good student, but I was a good football player, you know, and I thought, I think I can do this. And for some reason at the time, I don't know why, but being 6 foot or above was sort of the weird Mason-Dixon line. Like, it was a weird thing. It's like, John Wayne stands over 6 foot tall. Like, there was a lot of stands 6 foot tall, stands over 6 foot. He's just six footer. You know, it was a time when just most guys were 5'9" or whatever it was. And
I was 6 foot, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know.
I said to my, I'm going to be about 9 or 10. I was focused on football, and I knew, well, if you're going to play football, you got to be 6 foot or above. And I said, Dad, do you think I'll be 6 foot or above, you know, when I'm a man? And
hell
he said,
yeah.
I
said, hell yeah.
Probably not, he said, because I'm pretty short. My dad was short. I said, thanks, Dad. That I remember.
He was managing your expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did a fine job.
It was our outing.
Yeah. I do remember that. One thing
probably
I remember.
Probably short and gay, son.
Mm-hmm. He just left the, he just put the short part in. The gay was implied. Somebody tweeted me. Actually, Bill Simmons sent me, the sports guy. Sent me a little animation mashup thing he did on his network on Grantland, and I just took a quick look at it. It's a funny, you can find it on YouTube and Grantland, and we'll put it up on our website. Funny little internet animation and a conversation I forgot having completely, but it must have been when I did his podcast. And I thought, it'll work. You don't need to look at it. It's not a visual per se. But I thought you'd get a kick out of it. So we'll play it right now.
You know, you can tell the age of a male by counting the salvos after the initial urination. Because when I was 11, I'd take a whiz, cut it off, and it's right back to the room. Now it's like, cut, oops, got one more parting shot. Kind of like tracers. I start and stop like 28 times now. When I was in my 20s, it was probably two or three times. If you gave like 4.5 or 5 years for each after the initial whiz salvo, that's how old you are.
Dog years.
I could just tape record a guy taking a whiz and tell you exactly how old he was.
Whiz specialist. This sounds like a CSI spinoff, potentially.
That's right.
Little movie flashback now.
They had the microphones listener. In the bathroom during a murder.
Yeah. All we have is audio from the bathroom, Chief. Well, there's only one man to call. The listener.
And you're their last hope. I think he was born between August and November 1970.
He's definitely left-handed. He's a Pisces, by the way, born in March. Vegan. Blue-eyed. The vegan urine has a different sound to it. It's a higher acidic level, a higher pH level than the non-vegan urine.
Sounds like he's taking some sal palmetto.
Yeah, I hear supplement.
Go to every drugstore in the area and check the sal
palmetto. I hear some ginkgo biloba in there. Faint trace of a sports drink. Vitamin water.
We're staking out the
Gatorade.
Pharmacy.
Gatorade. Wildberry.
We're moving on the wild bar.
What did I do?
I can tell that much just from the sound of his urination.
Bruckheimer produced it. I don't know if you guys know that. I forgot about that funny conversation, but it is funny how you just stop whizzing, and then as you get older, there's an algorithm where I think each salvo equals so many years.
The quick cut is a young man's game.
Mm-hmm. Very young man.
Is that something that you have any control over, or does it just stop and you're like, oh, it stopped?
It's a weird thing. I don't know why your body would be geared or wired this way, but you go, God, I wish it worked that way with semen. Wouldn't it be awesome? Yeah. You'd be like, well, I guess I'm done here. Whoa! All right. Well,
hello.
Surely there can't be. Whoop! All right. Three's enough. Whoa!
I think that's like giving birth to twins, actually.
That would be really
weird.
Where's
this going to end? I don't know.
What happens is you urinate and you go, all right, well, I'm done urinating. And you go, you know what? I'm gonna play it safe and just stand here for 2 Mississippi and then pow, salvo. And then there's that move where we do a lot of road trips. I mean, we drove from Vegas last week. So it's like, I do a lot of, you guys know, we drove in from Fresno, Sacramento, that kind of stuff. We do a lot of ringing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be the one that says, "Could we pull the Denali over? I gotta take a whiz."
Wait, don't you guys have a bunch of Gatorade, empty Gatorade bottles?
Yeah,
for the road.
You're traveling with Allison. Oftentimes, you have a lady in the car.
I'd like to point out, I have never been the one to say I needed to pee, even though I really needed to pee.
Yes,
I like was tucked in behind Dawson's bladder.
I did it because I knew Allison
Thank
had
you.
To pee.
That's
yep.
so
wow.
nice.
She was going to breathe a sigh of relief as soon as I said
sure
it.
Did.
And I get to pee.
They say chivalry is dead. They're wrong. It's alive and well in the form of one. I don't know what his first name is. Dawson. All right. Ray's got a little just a tip. We are going to be doing some shows. Chicago, first show's gone. Only a few tickets left for the second show, so let's hop on that. Buffalo, Irvine, and Las Vegas all coming up. You can go to amcarolla.com. And then me doing some Mangria events. Seattle, Royal Oak, Lincoln Park, Amherst, Las Vegas. Again, go to Mangria and go to Corolla Drinks and find out when I'm going to be in a town near you, because I surely am. All right, let me give a little love to one of our fine sponsors, and then Ray, a little just a tip, and then we'll do a little blah, blah, blog. Ah, Squarespace. Yes, you need a platform. You need an all-in-one platform. You want to make it fast. You want to make it easy. You want to create your own website. Squarespace. beautiful designs, styles, and options to create a unique website for you and your business. Easy to use, and if you want to help, they have an amazing support team 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Start for just $8 a month. That's right. That includes a free domain name and if you sign up for a year. So you get a free trial, no credit card required. Start building your website today. Use the offer code Corolla1. That's Corolla and the number one, Corolla1, for 10% off your first purchase and show your support for the show. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. All righty then. Ray, you got some just a tip?
Yeah, I do.
Let's do an intro.
Yeah. Take in call.
Oh, no, damn it. Sorry.
Ooh. All right. Gentlemen, grab your hardwood. It's time for Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
Mm-hmm.
And why?
A.
Why?
I was saying to somebody on my new contractor show the other day, the weirdest thing was when you do the Tonight Show or you do any show, they play, the band learns 21 seconds of a song. And for me, you know, when I used to do the man show, it'd be, I'm a man, pow, and then you sit, you know. And sometimes I do Jimmy, it'll be the Rascal King or something like that. When I came out, we talked about this before, I did the Tonight Show, and I was going, what the fuck song is this? When you're walking out, because you always listen and go, what song are they going to pick for you? You know, they play Brown Eyed Girl if Allison was doing the show or something. You'd kind of go, oh, yeah, I get it. They pulled the theme song from Ace on the House and played the music, the musical version of that, which was weird to me because it's very obscure.
Yeah,
and
why
it's
would
original.
They have-
did you put it together?
No, I don't think I did put it together. It was just a version. Dun, 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 and I was like, I mean, I didn't say anything. I was just walking out, saying, waving my hand, saying hi to Jay. But I didn't know what the fuck it was. And
I
then,
love that song, but I wonder why they didn't just choose the Boss Tones.
I you know what it is. The internet is great for 9 things and horrific for the 10th. You know, sent some PA, go to his website,
his
go get
song.
The theme song, and there's the theme song. And they said, yeah, that's the song he uses. And then that's the end of that. That's how you spell Corolla, C-O-R. And,
unless the beginning of the song five times.
CA. Right.
We have to thank my good friend Jason Boots for that.
Yeah, Gary heard it, and Gary. Oh, well, I think we have it here. Yeah,
oh, I like that.
New book, not Taco Bell material. Very funny book, debuted in the top 10 in the New York Times bestseller list. Please welcome author Adam Carolla. Adam.
All right, now you can play the Taking Calls song from Ace on the House, and you'll get the...
Taking Calls.
There you go.
That's like, is it Smokey the Bandit? Like, I couldn't...
It's almost got a Julian Banjo sound.
Yeah. It didn't bump me. I just thought, what is this? And Gary... very
Adam,
Jason,
very we don't play this song live when we record Ace on the House.
That's
so
the part...
never really... Maybe he heard it two or three times in his life.
When we do the show, we don't roll into it with this. They tack it on after we do the show. That's the second confusing part. All right, Ray, give us the tip, man.
I don't know, man. I'm confused.
Come on.
All right, you know, you're very familiar with the orbital sander.
I love the random orbital sander.
And you also love, not so much, though, belt sander.
Belt sander's a
careful.
Little different animal, but careful.
Right.
It'll bite you.
It will.
It'll be best friend.
But well, you know what they both do?
Or to be the friend of your best friend.
That too.
You never hear it that way.
Or your other beanie.
Yeah.
But they get clogged a lot.
The
and
belt
they do
sanders.
Get clogged. Belt sander. And the orbital sander gets clogged a lot.
All right. The sandpaper, the hook and loop style that you pull on there, or the belts for the belt sander, or the little round 5 or 6 inch pads they have, they ain't cheap. They come in a 5-pack, probably $4 or $5. And like
you come
said,
in a 20-pack, that could be $50.
There you go, Ray. Either way, just saying, you can go through these things pretty quick, and it starts to add up.
Does.
Ray's got a tip.
Get clogged quickly. You know what you do? Take an old rubber shoe.
Old rubber shoe.
Old rubber shoe.
Uh-huh.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you run it over the rubber shoe a mm-hmm. little bit, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 seconds, clears all the soot out, clears mm-hmm. everything out.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah, that's all right.
It sure does.
Yeah. That's a hell of a tip for next to no.
Was this segment sponsored by anybody?
Yeah. You didn't know that? No, we're not there yet.
All right. What's the rest of the tip?
What? To clear the... Come on. That just saved you $100 next week.
Oh, what percentage? All right. Show
well,
of
every
hands.
Dude you have is using one at your shop right now. That's all I'm saying.
Nobody listening has a random orbital sander or belt sander. Well, under 5%.
All right, let's say you make chili.
Now we're talking.
With a random right. orbital sander?
Whatever you want to use.
You might uh-huh. use a belt sander.
But let's say you make chili. Let's say you have some dried stuff from the oven, whatever. You know, tray, what glass tray, Pyrex, whatever, caked on.
Food.
Yeah, can't get it off, right? You soak it overnight.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what the trick is?
Random orbital.
How'd you know?
Yeah.
No, you take a dryer sheet and you let it soak in there with it. Everything will come clean next day.
I mean, like?
A dryer sheet. Throw it in there with the water, let it soak overnight.
Like
everything
the snuggle bear?
Clean. You got it.
You mean
you'll snuggle
like
your
a
snuggle.
Bouncy thing?
Sure.
How does that work? Do you
How
know?
Does that work?
It's the chemicals in it. It all releases because it makes your clothes softer. It also mm-hmm. softens up all that baked goods.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And your next batch of lasagna tastes like?
Whatever.
Rinse static it. Cling free.
You got to hit rinse.
Pine. All right.
All right.
All right.
Just saying.
Outro. Here we go.
No. Mm. We got some other stuff to say. The segment is sponsored by MaximaStyle.com for the best selection of energy-efficient, saving LED light bulbs, like the ones here in the studio.
Well, we do use them here, yes.
We do. MaximaStyle.com. And thank you, Maxima.
All right, Ray, hit the bricks.
What?
Thanks for the tip.
Gary's out of his mind over there in the next room.
That's fine.
Yeah, all right.
Right.
All right. Very smart. Ray's not a professional. Ray, hit the bricks. Nice job, buddy.
Thanks.
We're going to do a little blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
all right. Good
Bye,
job, Ray.
Ray.
See you there. All right. Gary's got the look. The look is. All right.
He's so, whatever's going on is so
well,
intense
I think,
that he had to get up and get out of his chair and hold his head.
Let me explain something. That just for all to know that the most important piece of information I can pass on to any individual who is listening at this particular time.
It's not about dryer sheets.
Everybody, I have this conversation with almost everyone I know, and it's one of the more I'm now sort of fascinated by it, but people's inability to change or recognize opportunities or what have you. If you took everyone I went to high school with and said, you will be presenting at the Oscars and you'll be given the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award.
There would be a lot of explanation involved in the coming sentences.
First, yes. And then you said, here is what's going to be in the teleprompter, and you gave them two sheets of paper, they would not get around to looking at it before possibly their ride to the Shrine Auditorium.
Don't want to be too coached up.
Or backstage. Or not at all. And then they would get up there and fuck it up as they fumbled through the teleprompter. That's every human being I've ever went to high school with. And Ray's no exception. When you explain to him, like, here's what you need to do, he kind of does what he does. But most people do that. Almost everyone does that. And it's an exception for those who don't. I don't get why you wouldn't, because everyone should just treat your life like a gin rummy hand. Got some good cards, couple of bad cards. Everybody has some good cards, and everyone has some bad cards. You discard the bad cards, you get a few good cards. Before you know, you got a killer hand. People cling to the bad cards very tightly, and they don't want to get rid of them.
Sometimes you got a bald card and you feel bad for it because it has cancer, but you don't want to get rid of it because it would be a shitty thing to do.
Sometimes you have old maid.
Go fish, baby. So when you tell those people, look, I got a way to straighten your hand out or strengthen your hand, they're usually combative about it. And thus, they carry the same hand all the way through, which is great if you got a whole bunch of aces coming out of the womb. But I don't know too many of those people.
You talk a lot about grit being a good thing for your kids, and it is, obviously. But how about a great quality that's hard to teach is like the constant striving for self-improvement? I don't say constant, like all throughout your life, but to an extent. I mean, you know, Lumosity, for example, is an advertiser we've had in the past, and that's sort of all about, if you're all about self-improvement, then you'd probably be interested in something like that.
Yeah.
You can't force someone, you know what I mean? It's like going to the gym or whatever. Like, it's very hard to...
Well, the ability to hear something, absorb it, and go either that's not going to happen again or this is how I'm going to do it from this point on, it's an interesting philosophy, and it's something that's not really taught, and it's something that's not really discussed. And we discuss, and as I said, we have a lot of, you know, axioms of, well, it's who you know, and timing's everything, and right place and right time, and, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, whatever it is. It's really, we have a lot of those. We don't have as many that just sort of say, you can treat your life like, basically, when you drive a car on a racetrack, you go around it and they give you a time and you go, you did it in a minute 46.2 seconds. And then you think to yourself, I would like to get 0.2 seconds off of that on my next lap. You don't think I'm going to get 20 seconds off. That's not going to work. You just go, how can I shave just a little bit? And then how each lap can I shave just a little bit, just with some little subtle things? And some of it is going and talking to other people, like going, you're fast. What do you do? Not going, you're fast because you're lucky, or you're fast because your car's better, or blessed, or your dad drove cars, so you got a lucky car. So it's none of that. It's just, how do you do this better because you're doing it better than I? Not fuck you, you're not the boss of me, which is a weird thing when you're talking to people that are faster than you.
Well, see, I think... this just occurred to me, and I think it's deep. I think there's a relationship that we maybe haven't addressed between grit, tenacity, stubbornness, and motivation. Like, the goal is to have grit and tenacity, but to still be open to people giving you advice. But I think that stubbornness kind of comes from the same place, you know? Like, there can be, like, a like,
it's when grit takes a wrong turn.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's similar.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. As I was screaming at my nanny, who has to listen to me because I'm paying her, I've never said...
If you want this Bungalow Sue shirt, you'll listen.
Start sucking. You're already scrubbing the floor, so you're kind of in the right position. I said to her 3 nights ago, I have never uttered this phrase in my entire life, which is, I did my best. I've never said that. I will backhand my kids if they say that. I don't want to ever hear anyone say they did their best. I want them to always have a little bit of room of could have done better. I don't care if they fucking nailed it. I still want them to think I could have done a little bit better. There's always just that little margin at the top that I could have done a little bit better. But just that thing, yes, Brian, that grit meets being stubborn. You have to have the tenacity, you have to have the fire in the belly, but you also have to be all ears when you hear a good idea, and you can't cling on to your bad card, which gives you the bad gin rummy hand. I feel like we used to have elders, like there were village elders. It sort of went from village elder to like, hey, old man, you shit in your diaper, get the fuck out of here. Ah! You know, like now we make fun of elders. And then also, we take people that are having more success. I don't mean financial success. I just mean able to execute life, just kind of do what they want. Now, when you do what you want, then people throw money at you or you get a better car. That's usually how it goes. But it's more just the execution. Hey, I want to do something. Hey, I want to write a book. Hey, I've written a book. Hey, I want to start a podcast. Whatever it is you want to do, you're doing it. Listen to that person. They will have more answers to provide to you, usually, than the guy you share your apartment or futon with. That's something that we've lost. And one of the things we've done, one of the ways we've decided to lose that is we've decided to take the guy or the girl.
No. It could happen.
It could happen. Hypothetical. No. We decided to take those people that are executing life more effectively, not ginning up more money, not figuring out schemes to get rich. I just mean executing life.
Not getting in their own way.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane and Jimmy Kimmel are rich, but it's not about that. They're executing life. They're going, I want to make an animated series, and they're doing it. Then they're going, I want to make a feature film, and they're doing it. And I want to do a late night show. Whatever it is, they're executing sort of life. And, or, I mean, there was literally a part of Jimmy's life or a place in Jimmy's life where Jimmy said, one day I'd like to be on a beautiful white sand beach with Howard Stern on vacation. I mean, I'm sure he literally probably masturbated to it.
If there's other A-listers there, so be it.
So be it. If Jennifer Aniston has to be there, she can hang out. Yeah. And, you know, last break, probably found himself on the beach with Howard Stern. Well, is it about money? Well, it's part of it, but it's about execution.
I want River Phoenix to ask me out.
Execute, baby! So, when you come across someone who's good at executing, could be your own fragrance line, whatever. Whatever you're...
I'm listening.
Whatever
Oh, you're bald.
Whatever... We know what the cap would look like. Fucking cue ball. Whatever you're trying to do, then listen to that person. They're good executors. They're not rich guys. They're not snobs. They're not daddy's money. They're executors of ideas that then got them rich. So we have turned the executors of ideas and life into the enemy, into the lucky ones, into the, well, I get it, daddy's rich, sends you to Ivy League school, you're all, you know, he's all hooked up, you all know the right people, and the next thing you know, you're on a beach with Howard Stern. Howard Stern, Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm guessing Jennifer Aniston didn't start off anywhere except for with a plan to execute. So if Jennifer Aniston pipes up and wants to give you a little advice or tell you anything about anything, I recommend don't tell her to buzz off with a cool haircut and her millions of dollars. Listen to her. And as a society, let's not make these people the enemy. They may help with the execution in your life.
It's interesting the range that the word execution has.
It's got a lot of range. All right. Let's see. Blah, blah, blog, man. Let's do it.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
Ah, speaking of execution, income revolution, baby. You want to start earning hundreds of bucks, thousands of bucks? You want to do it each month? That wouldn't feel too bad, would it? IncomeRevolution.com. Whether your goal is to create a little personal wealth or just earn a second income, this is how you do it. Do it from home. Do it in your spare time. A lot of my listeners are already earning sizable weekly checks, and earlier you get in, the bigger your checks can be. Control your destiny. I like that. With IncomeRevolution.com, the energy you put into your business can earn you cash over and over again for a lifetime. Dawson?
Join other Adam Carolla listeners who are earning great money from home. Results are certainly not average, so visit IncomeRevolution.com and check out the income you can expect. And who knows, you might be their next millionaire. IncomeRevolution.com. That's IncomeRevolution.com.
Yeah, ready? Let's do a little blah, blah, blah.
I am a Jew who loves the Pope. I've always said, don't be too religious. However, Pope Francis is a good man for all religions. He is a humble person who identifies with the poor. He is a man who wants us to understand each other no matter what our differences may be, and to do our best to help one another. And that is the core of what every religion should be. Is it Kirk Douglas, Rob Reiner, or Paul Reiser?
Woo! All right. I don't have a problem with that statement. I guess everyone's a Jew. We got this with Kirk Douglas before. I can't remember if we burned us or not.
Is he an active blogger?
I don't know.
Are any of them?
Everybody on this game is an active blogger, yes.
Oh. This doesn't anger me, so it can't be Rob Reiner. Everything that comes out of fucking Rob Reiner's mouth makes me mad. So it can't be him. I think we've been fucked over by Douglas before.
It's kind of simplistic.
See, and I feel like we've been fucked over by Reiser before.
We've all been fucked by Reiser. Shit. It's simple for Reiser. There's no joke in there.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right, I'm going Douglas.
Yeah, me too, Douglas. There's not even an attempt for a joke. It's just kind of there.
Okay.
And I kind of want to go Douglas, but my first instinct, which you should never trust, was Reiser, so that's what I'm going with.
The blog belongs to Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
Great.
Streak remains alive with Meathead. All right.
Growing up as a gay kid in the South was not easy. The constant fear of people discovering who you really were and the inevitable shame that would fall upon you and your family dictated how you lived your life every day. Luckily for me, I was fortunate enough to move to places where it wasn't a constant daily reminder that I was an abomination. For my family, however, they still live in ground zero of intolerance for the LGBT community and have the unique pressure of having a well-known
Lynette,
gay
if you're
relative.
Listening, let's plan our summer vacation.
When I came out,
we're going
they
to ground
came
zero,
out.
Baby.
Is it Clay Aiken, Lance Bass, or Project Runway's Tim Gunn?
Wow. All people whose careers were dramatically altered when they courageously came out of the closet. Mm. Oh, wait, no one gave a shit. I forgot. I do find it's a form of narcissism when it's like, you want to know what I'm doing? And it's like, no, not really. Yeah. And then nothing ever happens once the announcement is made.
I'll agree with that.
But
I think that if people suspect you're gay and you won't address it, that drives them insane.
Absolutely. If they suspect you've done anything or are anything that they suspect, whatever it is, and you don't say it, it drives them insane. Yeah.
So
yes.
I think all three of them kind of had to make the proclamation at some point.
Well, sort of. I don't know if they – you say drives people insane, but I don't know how that manifests itself. Like, I don't know if it means
That's
you
true.
Don't get work or anything. It just drives people insane. No, what drives people insane – look, we all have this. What's the strongest thing we have in the world? Like where you say, we have some conversation. And I go, that defense is better than the 84 Bears.
Well, I don't know if they're that good.
And then, you chime in and you go.
It was the 85 Bears. Come on.
Pretty sure it was the 84.
Ditka and Buddy Ryan, I think it was the 85. I'm pretty sure it was 85.
Now, no one will ever leave it at that because Brian knows it's the 85 Bears. And I go, I know it was the 84 Bears. You're wrong. Moving on. Brian, the second he has a fucking spare moment, can get hold of anything, will go fucking look it up and shove it in my face.
Classic Brian.
Yeah, such me.
No, everybody has to do that with everything all the time. Like, you go, no, I swear you said that. You know how many times you went, like, I swear you said that, or you said that, or I said that.
I'm sure we can all sit here and think of, like, 15 things that we each personally have this relationship with. Yes.
We all, and with any trivia, with anything, with any whatever, and, you know, when there's somebody that has a trait or whatever it is, whether it's wearing a toupee, where you go, God, that guy wears a toupee, right? And they're like, he doesn't wear a toupee. And you're like, he does. And then you want
to. The way the light hits it.
Yes. You want to just grab for it and try to pull on it. That's what we have. So when our gaydar is going off, but it's like they're not saying anything, it starts driving us nuts. But it's not that we're driven nuts by gay.
It's the lying. Or it's the,
us thinking as a human being another person is something, whatever that something is, but not having it verified and thus having to question ourselves.
I mean, it's kind of a survival thing because the alternative means your perception is off, which is unsafe.
Right. And that's why we always hear, and women have this more than men, I knew that guy was creepy. I told you that guy was a creep, you know, when it comes out later on that he's packing up kids' corpses like cords of wood in his basement in his clown outfit.
That's pretty creepy.
All right. I'm going. I like Clay Aiken a lot. Good guy. Spent some good time. And boy, you want to talk about a super effective guy? Like, you want to talk about a guy who, forget about singing, you would be happy to have him run your .com business or your fucking hair salon or your logging camp. Like, it does not
matter.
Or your
.com hair salon logging camp.
Yes. Oh, man. Would that look good at the mall? He's just a fucking laser-focused, smart, bright, hardworking guy. Tim Gunn drives me nuts because he gets nominated for shit all the time, and I don't feel like he does anything. I don't know. Heidi Klum's 1,000 times worse than he is, 1,000,000,000 times worse than he is. She does zero. But I'm not sure what he does either, than other than act snarky. I'm going Clay Aiken.
Is Lance Bass even from the South? I'm going to say Clay Aiken, too.
Well, there's a Florida that doesn't seem like the South.
Oh.
Let's not forget Florida's in the South, which is weird because it feels crazy unsouth to me, but it is South.
Okay, I'm going to say Clay Aiken.
Or maybe it's the Southeast. I don't know what it is.
Yes. I'm going Clay Aiken, too. Strategically, not that smart, but that's who I think it is.
The blog belongs to Lance Bass.
Oh! Shit! Is he from Florida? Everyone in boy bands, either from Florida or ends up in Florida.
From the panhandle.
Yeah. All right.
I wonder why Republicans really undermine the Affordable Care Act daily. Maybe they are worried about its eventual success. Remember, the GOP also largely opposed Medicare. As Ronald Reagan said on the eve of Medicare's passage, "We will wake to find we have socialism. We are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America when men were free." Medicare has not put chains on Americans. Actually, it had afforded seniors some peace of mind. Is it Barbara Streisand, Michael Moore, or Annie Lennox?
Ooh. I like Michael Moore. Disagree with him most of the time, but I like him. Annie Lennox angers me with her music. If I hear the fucking Travel the World and the fucking
Sweet
Seven
Dreams.
Seas. And then I realize most of her songs are fucking grating and horrible, and they get a pass. She gets a pass. Because she wears dude outfits and has short hair, or she has, she gets a pass as an artist. She's above reproach, but
it's because she's so angular.
That's what
the
it is.
Structure.
But her fucking songs suck.
We wear dude outfits and have short hair. What the fuck?
Yeah,
we should have the same cred.
You don't have short hair.
I have very, very short hair.
All right.
Yes.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Because Michael Moore I think he's on there because he did the documentary, The Sicko. And I don't think Annie Lennox cares that much about the intricacies of Medicare and American healthcare.
All right. Babs.
Oh, wait.
I was wondering. Sorry.
I'm going Michael Moore. I feel like Lennox is in there just to anger Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The blog belongs to Barbara Streisand.
Yeah!
There was one time, literally one time, where I was good at this game.
I know. You're
fucking over. I don't know what happened.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't understand how men and women who want the best for their children and grandchildren can be so blind to the consequences of their actions. There is nowhere to hide from global warming. Expanding fossil fuel development into our last remaining wild ecosystems will destroy the remnants of our natural heritage and trigger even more climate disruption. Why would people do this when there are energy solutions right in front of them? Clean energy from wind, solar, and high-tech energy efficiency. If the oil industry won't come along, we need to put pressure on them through the courts.
Why not nuclear? We want to save some fucking coal miners. You want to save some fossil fuel. Nuclear. Never, never on the list. Which, all right, just show they're fucking hypocrites, but go ahead.
We need to put pressure on them through the courts, in the media, and in peaceful demonstrations in numbers too great to ignore. Is it songwriter Carole King, songwriter John Mellencamp, or songwriter Cyndi Lauper?
Mellencamp. Oh, Mellencamp's face is past his hair now. We got to come up with a list, you know, like Billy Crystal and guys like that. When your face passes your hair,
what do you mean pass?
I mean, it's past.
Oh, it doesn't match.
Yeah.
No longer matches.
Yeah. When he has the hair. If you hold your hand up and you go, how old is that dude's hair? You go 23, 24. And then you look down and you go, 61 and a smoker. Yep. Like, there is the, you want your hair to look a little, you know what you want out of your hair? You want the same out of your hair as what you want out of your car. Where, like, when somebody goes, all right, what's your car? 3 years old? Actually, it's a 04. And they go, whoa, 10 years. Nice shape. Yeah, took good care of that thing. That's what you want with your face and your hair. But you want the hair to look a little newer, but not look like it's from someone else.
Cyndi Lauper's got that going on a little bit, too.
Chicks can get away with it just because they start dyeing their hair early and they can bleaching. Do whatever they want.
Because you don't want someone to see you from the back and be like, oh, who's that hot?
Right.
When they see your front.
I'm going to say, I don't think Cougar cares enough. I think he's too busy smoking and banging Miles to really give a shit about the environment. I would say, I guarantee that many, whoever we're looking at, flies net jets quite a bit and fucks up the environment more than you could ever do in your Camry. I'm going to go Carole King.
I have no idea, so I'll go with Cyndi Lauper.
I kind of think it's Carole King, but I'm going to go Mellencamp.
You really don't matter.
I know. Thank you.
For the game, the blog belongs to Carole King.
Yes! Yes! Fucking dominate, man! Remember I was telling you guys about the fucking life strategers to build the things?
Perfectly
the executors.
Illustrated. Perfectly illustrated here.
I just executed on all your asses. That's why you listen to me. Everybody should listen to me all the time.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
I would like to point out, in Allison's defense,
oh, thanks.
Statistically, more difficult to go 0-4 than it is to go 3-4. So, in some universe,
yeah, I am
more,
an executor.
You're more skilled than
thank
I.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you very much.
Perfect score is hard to get.
It would
thank
be very
you.
Difficult for Brian or myself. Brian, I think you'll admit this.
Yeah.
To go 0-4 in this game.
Twist my arm, and you know what?
If you tried.
At gunpoint, I will admit it's hard to go 0-4.
Takes a big, big man to admit when he's not dumb. Haley Joel Osment is coming in. He's in a little something called The Spoils of Babylon. Eric John Rosch's epic novels, now an epic miniseries airing Thursdays on IFC. It's a 6-part miniseries. I think we're a part or two in. I'm trying to think. We're going tonight's the third. Yeah. 6-part miniseries. Kristen Wiig's in this. Tobey Maguire, Will Ferrell, Jessica Alba, Val Kilmer, Haley's in this. It's all there, and they're all there. Be sure to check out part 3 tonight. That's right. Spoils of Babylon. IFC, Thursdays, 10 p.m. All right, quick break. Haley Joel, next.
Hi, folks. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I bring back the hamper update. We haven't had it in a long time, and I'm going to tell you something about I haven't had in a long time. You'll find it all out when you listen for free through iTunes or go to LarryMillerPodcast.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, man, just want to tell you that I went in to fight my red light violation ticket the Oakland Police Department gave me. And me and 35 other people were there. It took the judge an hour to clear out the whole courtroom. They spent about 10, 20 seconds listening to each person trying to defend themselves before they just threw the book at them. $540 fines for everybody. $17,000. Can you believe that? Just thought you'd like to know.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Haley Joel Osment with us. Mini-series, The Spoils of Babylon. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank
I just
you.
Did a commercial for you guys. IFC, 10 o'clock. I forgot that you were Forrest Gump's kid.
That's right.
I love that movie, man. I feel like that movie takes a little bit of shit, and I'm not sure why. It was innovative. It was interesting.
It was a backlash thing. It was so wildly popular among so many different, you know, old, young, everyone in between. And
right.
Then it got a little backlash.
I think it bothers some people that it won Best Picture instead of Pulp Fiction. I think that irks some people.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have a problem liking both films.
I'm down with both, too. So tell us your story. You grew up out here?
I did, yeah, not too far away around Pasadena, and I went to school in New York in 2006 and was living there until about a year ago. Now it's sort of half and half.
And you just discovered, I was reading IMDb, it said just walking through a supermarket or something with mom, discovered
yeah,
the casting director.
The IKEA in Burbank, they were doing a thing where they had a casting assistant taking Polaroids of all the kids that walked in the door, and I just happened to be called in from that to a cattle call. And from that first commercial, which was a Bigfoot Pizza Hut commercial, the casting director of Forrest Gump saw it on television, and that was sort of the way in.
I'm surprised they were okay with an adult just randomly taking photos of every kid who walked through the door.
It doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
They had the guy in the Allen Wrench outfit supervising him just to make sure he wasn't going to go anywhere. Said it many times. The worst mascot ever. It's the mascot at IKEA. It's the tool that you need to put the shit together.
And we're talking about it.
It reminds you that this shit comes in a flat box, and your entertainment unit's going to take several days to set up.
The mascot should be a guy like with his feet up on his ottoman, like relaxing, watching TV, passed out, maybe.
You know what? The big Swedish chef. You know, Sweden has so many good things other than Allen wrenches. You know what I mean? And by the way, you don't think, you know, it's like when someone, I went to Sweden for a couple of years. You see any Allen wrenches? Did you go to the Allen Wrench Museum? Do you see the house where they held the Allen Wrench sympathizer who was hidden up in the attic there? Yes. Oh, wait. We got the Pizza Hut? We got the Bigfoot Pizza Hut commercial?
Oh, my God.
Bigger than big.
Huge, huge, large, astronomically big.
Big would be an understatement.
Very big.
Is that you?
That's me.
When it arrives, you better not be alone. Bigfoot.
So 90.
Pizza Hut. From Pizza Hut.
Oh, I remember the Bigfoot.
It wasn't very good.
Well, yeah. Anytime you get 13 linear feet of pizza for under $4. It's probably not the best pizza.
Yeah, the Bishop boys polished off a few Bigfoot pizzas back in the day.
I'm really impressed. No one's ever shown. I haven't seen that since I was a little kid. That's crazy.
We got a crack staff here. When I say crack staff, I mean staff that's on crack. Showing a big, hairy Bigfoot go down, though, not what I want to think about when I'm sitting down for dinner.
Did your family have any hesitation about going forward with you being a child actor and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's everybody knows the pitfalls of it. My dad was actually already working in theater in Los Angeles, and that's how my parents moved out here from Alabama originally. But it was just sort of easing into it gradually. And had it been like, you know, something that wasn't like Forrest Gump or like sort of a legitimate, like wholesome sort of environment like that, it might not have gone as far as it did.
Is it, I'm old, and so I don't have a bunch of stuff, images of me. I have a couple of pictures, a couple of parties. Hey, I know what I looked like when I was six, but there's a couple of pictures. Not a lot.
Your image isn't burned into the psyche of the American film going public?
Yeah.
Not yet. It is not. Especially me as an 11-year-old playing a 7.5-year-old or whatever your age was and was. I don't know if I went back and looked at that, how I'd feel about it or how often I would look at it. I certainly wouldn't do it after taking mushrooms. I think I would freak out.
Shouldn't even look at the mirror.
But it must pop up on TV, and then you see the version of you that's 10 years old, right?
Right, yeah. It is weird. It's sort of in an environment now where everybody is posting thousands of pictures of themselves all the time online, so I think it's sort of covered by that, where it's culture is now you're used to seeing a lot of pictures of everybody. But yeah, the fact that I'm so identified with like a 10-year-old version of myself is strange. And it just takes some time. You know, there are other actors who Jodie Foster was always, you know, associated with that character for a long time, and just gradually the work you do sort of
Jodie Foster was, you know, Disney and
Freaky Friday,
all those
well, Taxi Driver too.
Yeah,
well, that's true. Yeah. It's always a thing where somebody will say, well, they were associated with this role and they could never break out of that role. And I sort of look at that role as you and your truck, and you're stuck in some mud. And if you're Jodie Foster, then you have enough horsepower to get yourself out of that mud,
right?
And you're talented enough. And if you're Johnny Depp, you can get out of the 21 Jump Street mire. Because you have the horsepower to sort of pull yourself. There's many stories where you can say, with the right amount of talent and enough horsepower under the hood, you can pull yourself out of that, reinvent yourself. I'm sure you feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, and I, even from a young age, was sort of comfortable with the fact that there's no guarantee that you're going to have a long career like that. And was happy to go to college and to sort of establish a life for myself, to where if you don't end up having that horsepower, there are other options for you. But I've been very lucky you know, this very year and just getting some opportunity to sort of go in a different direction in that truck.
Like the spoils of Babylon, right, man. Yeah. working with any good Bruce Willis stories, offer you smoke, anything inappropriate?
No, he was really, really, really nice to me and to everyone on that movie. And I worked with Kevin Smith recently, and they had just a god-awful experience together and didn't get along at all. And we were talking about that.
I had that with Kevin Smith, too.
Yeah.
I'm taking Bruce's side on this one. I forgot. That was Cop Out. Yeah. That was right.
But what I think the difference it made is that with The Sixth Sense, a lot of people's careers were sort of riding on that being a success, and everybody knew we had the script that if we did it right, would go places. So everybody was just like, let's get along and be nice.
Yeah, because I guess M. Night Shyamalan's got a little bit of a personality as well. You get that with a guy who has a little bit of a personality, like Bruce Willis. You can have a little bit of a difficult time on the set. Did you read – were you 10 or 11 at the time?
I was 10 during the filming of it. Yeah, 10.
And then 11.
And then 11 when it came out, yeah.
How did you know that?
I did the math. I'm deep in the business.
Wow.
I know guys.
Oh, it's like an insider thing?
I blew a couple calls in.
You have to ask for the record, you know, to make sure.
Right. Did you know, I'm trying to think, at 10, did you read the script and sort of absorb what it was and go, wow, really have a nice piece of work here? Or did your mom and dad read it and go, take our word for it? Or how'd that work?
I think they probably saw a little bit farther into the future with that than I did. But everybody knew that. I mean, even at that age, like, I think that movie is also a little bit about how you sort of have to give children a little bit more credit sometimes than society does, and that they are – that this 8-year-old boy in the movie was sort of handling these horrible, intense concepts and somehow surviving and everything, and that children under pressure can adapt to that. And even though I had never experienced anything like that in my life, that was evident to me as a reader, you know. And I think my dad actually summed it up the best, and we had our first conversation about it, where he's like,
Where's the money?
Oh. Or he was like, it's not about ghosts, it's not about death as much as it is about communication. And that was, I think talking about that with Knight was where he went, oh, I think that they have this figured out a little bit.
Do you call him Knight?
Yeah, just Knight. Yeah.
Just Knight.
Yeah.
And was it, you were going to a public school at the time?
I was, yeah, until high school.
Was that weird then, going back into what would have been the fourth grade or something?
I shot it in fifth grade, and then it came out when I was in sixth grade. And yeah, I mean, at that point, I'd been at the same elementary school, so I knew everybody in my class. And it was not awkward, but because a lot of these kids were too young to really see that movie, and this is before everybody had a Facebook account and everything. So there was sort of a
level. Was that on – I was an R, right? Was that –
I think it was PG-13, actually.
PG-13, but still for the 10, 11, and 12-year-olds.
Pretty intense.
Yeah, not ideal.
Missed the cut. And those place in Pasadena where parents kind of give a shit and don't let their kids go to movies that are inappropriate for them.
Right.
So you had mostly a class of people who may have known what was going on but did not physically see the movie themselves.
That's right, yeah.
And then I guess as time went on and DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff started coming out.
And then when I got into seventh grade, which was a whole new school and everything, that was sort of another adjustment period of meeting people for the first time and everything. And I missed the first half of seventh grade at my high school. We were a 7th to 12th grade school shooting AI. And that was, you know, yet another thing that sort of was on everybody's minds when I went there.
How does the artificial intelligence, but how does the on-set tutor work? Because I feel like I would find that chick, just grease up her palm immediately, tell her that I'm going to be over at Craft Services, and let's just see if we can work this out, because I'm not going to spend 6 hours a day in this trailer with you.
I think there's good teachers and bad teachers like there is in regular school, and I just got lucky. I basically had the same teacher, a woman named Lois Carl, from when I was on sitcoms as like a 6 and 7-year-old all the way through to into high school with a few other good teachers in there. So like having someone that you're familiar with and, mm-hmm. and who actually like cares about the outcome of this education isn't just in and out on one show was pretty important.
Is that something that your parents could request to have the same tutor?
Well, California actually has very, very strict laws about all of this, about the to the minute, the amount of time you can be on the set. And thinking of it now – there's a lot of, you know, you spend a lot of time waiting on the movie set. And when I was a kid, you didn't, because you had to, the law is 3 hours of school, one-on-one tutoring a day. And you can only work like 7, 8, 9 hours in that age range. So you really have to shoot efficiently to make it all work.
You know, ironically, the folks that need the tutors on the set, or at least the tutors that go to them, are the kids with no money that are staying home. Because whether you get educated or not, hey, you just made $250,000 for your next film. I mean, you're going to – by the time you turn 18, you'll have more money in the bank than all the Corollas who have come before you, excluding myself, combined, have ever made. Whether you're educated or not, what you need is a financial advisor for about 2 hours on the set every day talking about mutual bonds.
I think that's a very good point. I think with a lot of people who work, you know, in sports, in the entertainment, yeah, I mean, you can make a lot of money and also blow it really quickly if you don't have, you know, someone over your shoulder for that.
Well, if it's not a rude question, we hear, you know, in the news all the time, or used to anyway, about former child stars losing all their money, or parents taking advantage, or poor management, or whatever it is. How you became a very, very big star at a very young age and were making really good money. How did you – what were the steps you took? Like, you must have done something right away to be like, I got to take care of this.
I forget where when the Coogan Law went into effect. But, yeah, I mean, there were stories, I think, into the 80s of kids whose parents just took it all and basically –
Let me just jump in. Cheryl Coogan was a porn star.
Odd they would name it after her.
Oh, yeah.
Totally unrelated.
Well, she was good.
The guy who wrote the
She really
wrote
cared
the
about the kids,
fan.
Though. Really cared about the kids. So the money was basically in a trust fund until I was 18. And when you're 18, you probably – I mean, I generally should have a little bit more of a mature attitude than when you're like 13 about what you would buy with that money.
It's funny that I believe, by the way, the 18 should be bumped up just like the – Bar mitzvah should be bumped up to maybe 17. The 18 should be bumped up to like 26, because 18 was good when you died at 44. But 18 now, first off, everyone is wildly immature at 18. They've been playing fucking video games their entire lives. And I mean, it used to be in this country like 18. You know, when Abe Lincoln was 18, he was a man.
I don't
know
any 18-year-old that I think is an adult.
Right.
That's just
right.
Not an adult anymore.
No, yeah. And your mentality is not really that of a man. I mean, back when these guys were tilling the soil and working the farm and, you know, had to buck up and all that stuff, 18 was just, you were a grown man, or you'd fought in a war or something by then.
Yeah.
I don't know any 18, I don't know many 25-year-olds, but seeing how people now live to 80 and we're super immature because all we do is drink sports drinks and play video games, maybe watch internet porn, maybe we should bump that up to like 23.
I agree. But why do you have to be 25 to rent a car? Why is that the one thing?
Because the insurance companies are the smartest. They
yeah,
know
they,
you're not
They know you're a piece
enough.
Of shit at 19.
That's how they protect themselves.
And we'll get the bar mitzvah junior year of college.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man.
That makes sense.
No, you can tell. I know just – I'm 25 now, and I know that I would make a lot better decisions now than I did when I was 20. And yet when you're 20, you feel like, I'm here. I'm an adult. Like, I'm in that club. And your brain isn't done growing in yet.
It's insane how immature you can be while being able to sire a child and fight in a war and buy beer in certain parts of Canada.
Let's just change when puberty strikes. Because there's a lot of extra years that no one really needs. Like, what 13-year-old needs all that happening?
No, we don't. And as a matter of fact, I do feel like the puberty is heading the wrong
South.
Direction. And the maturity level, there's going to be a pretty big chasm there. Because it used to be, oh, I got a pube. Oh, I got a job as a, you know, on a farm working at a logging camp or whatever. I got this woman, Becky, pregnant. We're going to get married. And that'll be that. Now it's completely gone off the rails. Yeah, we got to do something. We got to start putting something in the Mountain Dew or the McDonald's or something, whatever the hormone is, whatever. I don't know what the delivery system is, but we got to start pushing back that. It's interesting.
Yeah. I'm on board.
I'm with you, too.
Well, it changes your perception of musicians, too, because growing up as like a teenager, you think of Keith Richards and Keith Moon as guys who were adults getting into that mayhem. And they're like 17, 18, 19. It makes it all that stuff make a little more sense.
I know when you realize that these professional athletes, these musicians and people like that we were trashing hotel rooms or trashing clubhouses or doing whatever. The guy was 22.
Yeah.
Then you cut him some slack.
Yeah.
All right. We got some news to do.
Does M. Night ever call you drunkenly and late at night?
His name is Knight.
Does Knight ever call you drunkenly?
No.
Haley, two words. The Seventh Sense.
The studio did want to do another one.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
but
can
nobody
imagine.
Else did. Yeah.
Haley, sorry to call you so late at me.
It's mid me. I'm sorry. I'm drunk again.
I haven't had a good night's me in a long. I'm in a good me's night. I'm in a shit. I'm drunk on
absinthe. You are drunk.
All right. I'm going to sober up. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football. Far from over. My listeners still winning serious. Do-re-mi at DraftKings.com. A few weeks ago, they gave away $1 million, everyone. I'm sorry to sound like Thurston Howell III when I say that, but Lovey, come on. DraftKings takes watching football and now playoff football to a whole new level. You can win instant cash every week. They're giving away $200 million. Bucks over the course of the season. That is DraftKings. Dawson.
DraftKings is letting Adam Carolla listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
All right, Allison, let's do a little news. Haley, hang out, crack wise, and we'll be home before you know it.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison, Allison.
So Apple is going to have to refund millions of dollars to consumers for allowing kids to purchase, to make in-app purchases without their parents' permission. Adam, do you know what an in-app purchase is? I know that you're busy playing Candy Crush all the time.
I know what in-app employees are, but I'm not the, I don't know this part. I know my kids are constantly trying to buy things on their.
Do they know passwords?
I don't know if they watch game shows. No. There's a part of. Here's what I figured out. Here's honestly the way I look at life. I walk around the house, all the lights are on, the space heater's on in my kid's room, he's off at school, blah, blah, blah. God knows my kids are shopping year-round. And it's just, I just figure there is just so much money flying out the Corolla house window. It's not even worth me running down the street trying to gather it all up into my skirt. Mm. I can't do it. All I have to do is go out there and sell some more Mangria so I can just not run down the street and chase it. Because I'm sure
you have to support their habits.
I'm sure they've racked up huge, huge bills.
Well, so it used to be that if you wanted to purchase something through the iTunes store, you had to put in your password every time. And they changed it so that you put in your password. And then for a 15-minute window, you can just make more purchases without.
God. Yeah.
But it's actually for adults, it's a nice thing to not have to put it in every time for a little while.
I think there's going to be a problem. And I know there's going to be a problem. When things don't become tangible, you know, we started off in this
credit
country,
cards.
Right. That's why people get into trouble, even student loans and things that you can't see. You know, we started off going, here's a pelt. Give me a blowjob. or hand job. I mean, it doesn't always have
was
to be.
Was it that some, easy?
It was that easy. No, it was like, here's a beaver pelt. And everyone knew what the fuck it was. And it took a long time to get. And it was, you know, it took a lot of energy and
that's
whatever.
That's why pimps wear so much fur.
That's right. Did they trace their roots?
Yeah. Roots. They explained it now.
Back to the creek. The Bishop Don Magic Wand once told me. So there was like, you know, a pelt. And then there was a chunk of gold, a nugget, something, a coin, something been minted and had some heft and some weight. And at some point, when people went to paper money, we still got that it was $20, but it wasn't worth $20 itself in material.
The pelt, no, it was a symbol.
Yeah, the pelt was worth. And then we started getting into checks, and it became a little bit easier to buy goofy shit, and then credit cards, and it got super easy to buy goofy shit. And then just the sort of instant credit and debit and all the, you know, pay for and all the accounts that automatically. Now, it makes it very easy to go down to the Bally's in Burbank, swipe your piece of plastic, sign up for a 5-year membership, it'll automatically debit your card every month for $29, and you'll never fucking set foot in that place, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And once you get enough of those going, that sort of becomes your relationship. So
that those kind of things that just renew automatically, especially if they're small amounts, are super insidious. Because like right now, there's a couple like, you know, $13, $12 things that I'm like, oh, did I cancel that? I don't know. But I kind of don't care enough to
check. And then what happens is your family and you sort of become like the government. Like you're sitting around and you're going, California has wasted $60 million on a train to nowhere. And you go, suckers, idiots. And you go, wait a minute, that's our money. And they just start throwing these numbers out, deficits. And this thing ran $200 million over budget and this and that and the other. And you just kind of sit there and you just go, what are you going to do? It's a huge number. I didn't pay it. You did pay it, but not really. It doesn't feel like you paid it. There's a separation. The pelt, the beaver pelt, if somebody said this bullet train to San Francisco is running 7 million pelts over budget, you go, fuck that. I spent my whole Sunday morning in that freezing creek trying to get those pelts. No way. Like, you'd be outraged, right?
I worry about when they do the thing where your credit card is on your, like an app on your phone, so everything is just waving your phone at stuff.
Yes.
Even just doing this now is enough of a step to make you think twice about swiping or something.
Oh, I sort of think our kids are going to grow up in not only a virtual world where everything is just kind of simulated, but the money will be kind of simulated too, which is you don't get paid in anything. The money just goes right to your account, and then the Bally's and Burbank will take $29.75 a month out of that account. Mm-hmm. You'll know it or you won't know it. It's kind of invisible. You don't really feel
like
the sting of it.
You only know it when you get into you only know it when you don't have enough.
Or someone like hacks in and steals all your stuff from your account. Like Venmo and PayPal ask immediately to link to a bank account, which to me just seems like one more opportunity for some 15-year-old to break in and take all your cash.
And also, there's a sort of detachment and caring. There's a part of it where it's like, hey, man, there's parts of Africa where they got the mosquitoes and they need the nets. And there's part of you goes, yeah, someone ought to do something. Anyway, let's go to the hometown buffet. I'm fucking dying. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, they intellectually understand it, but then you go, it's same with a lot of big government. You know, someone will say, our deficit $200 kajillion. And you go, yeah, what are you going to do? Let's go to the hometown buffet. And that's bleeding into our own lives. I don't know what relationship my kids are going to have with money. You don't work anymore. I mean, you're not like out in the sun, you know, not like, oh, my fucking back's killing me from working all day. Everything's electronic and digital. Like, I just think we're going to have some classes and we're going to have to coach some people up because we're going to lose it. The connection with the pelts.
Definitely. What amazes me is kids who can operate an iPhone before they can read and write.
Yeah.
And I think that is a very common thing.
It's most kids, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you
anyway.
See babies do it. Like they had a baby playing with an iPad and they put a magazine in front. The baby's
trying to
swipe the ads around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The analog version of that is that I used to scratch and sniff all my illustrated books, even that weren't even scratch and sniff.
There's a version when I get really drunk and try to beat off for the second time that looks a little like that, too.
Sad.
So that's only the second. It's never the first is fine.
Yeah, easy peasy.
Yeah,
so anyway, Apple
go for the deuce.
Apple will pay out at least $32.5 million. They're going to provide full refunds to consumers who have been affected. Just a couple examples. One consumer complained to the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, that her daughter had spent $2,600 on Tap Pet Hotel. Others reported that their kids had racked up as much as $500. So Apple has emailed consumers who may have been impacted, but consumers can also reach out to Apple if they believe they've been affected. And Apple says protecting children has always been a top priority for the App Store.
Sure.
But here's something interesting. If the refunds do not reach $32.5 million, Apple will be required to pay the balance to the Federal Trade Commission. What do they do with it?
They're up to no good. I mean, it should just be, you know, Jews for Jesus or something, right? Or, you know, just to make a wish
for the kids.
Whatever. Yeah, something for the
kids.
St.
Jude's.
Yeah. Mm. Make a wish foundation, St. Jude's. What's it?
Do you think they give them the remainder in iTunes gift cards?
Right, yeah. We're so sorry. You can have 50% of your losses at any Apple store in California.
You know what I never understand with the talking about the relationship between money and like concrete things like pelts and stuff? The people, like survivalists who don't trust the bank, who want to put their turn their money into gold. Mm-hmm. If shit goes down, what good are gold bars going to do you? Like, I understand the idea that there's some intrinsic value, but really, if you're hungry and you're freezing, what is gold going to do for you?
I think it's just a lesser. I think they're just doing a math where they go, well, all the electronic stuff's going to go when the grid goes down, so that's going. And then your checkbook's not going to mean squat. I think they just move, and then they move toward, well, your nickel's not really worth a nickel because it's not made out of nickel. Mm. And then they'll just keep moving toward cash, which is good. It says 100 on there, but it might as well just say 1 on there or 0. So they move toward gold.
Right.
But even though gold's not going to be able to do anything, you could throw it at somebody.
But I suppose maybe they're thinking for a little while.
I think they,
it'll be a currency.
They think there's, you know, always going to be Armenians out there willing to trade.
Oh,
you know, now I
Some
think
they're
going to think that there's always going to be someone who'll trade for this. Where the cash,
I just say
they're not going to trade.
I feel bad for that person because what good is the gold going to do that person?
Well, they have a lot of munitions and canned food stockpiled as well. It's not just.
Yeah,
bullion.
You're right.
You're making a bet on like a
well.
Truly desperate situation, like waving a gold bar at someone to let you get on the last helicopter out or something. Like it's
right.
It's not going to be a couple trips to the store every week. You know, one gold bar at a time.
Yeah, you're shaving them off. You get one of those cheese graters.
A julienne slicer.
Yeah.
Do you have change for a gold bar?
I think you can trade it. Yeah, it's the one. It's the
Maybe
last.
Maybe you really could actually. When I think of it that way.
It's the last chopper out of Hanoi, and you went on.
A gold schlager would be a good middle ground because if the gold is worth something, that's going to be useful. But everybody always wants alcohol.
I feel like the booze. So, it will be the new pelt once the apocalypse comes.
I wonder if people are stockpiling booze. They should be stockpiling mangria.
I would have barrels. I mean, I got to tell you, first off, all the you know, syntax stuff, I would want that. You know,
cigarettes.
The booze, the cigarettes, like that. Here's how I would basically work my survival system under very simple auspices. How does it work in prison? All right, cigarettes. That's the main. Okay, stock up on cigarettes. Or what else? Booze, drugs, like whatever, whatever works in prison, because prison is basically a little microcosm of the end of the world and a bunch of scary people living together, right?
Yeah.
So how do you get along in prison?
Well, stick with your kind, for
stick
sure.
Stick with your kind and have
take a boyfriend.
Have a lot of cigarettes and booze.
Kick someone's ass the first day.
Yeah. If you have
don't ask anyone what they're in for, but do ask them how long they're there for. Mm.
Saying use a basic and simple prison model to use on the outside when the apocalypse hits. And that'll work. I would rather have cartons of cigarettes and bottles of Smirnoff than I would, you know, blocks of gold and cans of beans.
Yeah. It is disturbing to me, though. If you look at the bottom of canned food, it expires in like 2 years. It's not like this indefinite food supply. Like there's canned food in my kitchen that just went bad this year, and I've only had it since, you know, for a few months.
I know.
And everything.
You got to take it down. Pull the wrapper off and take it to the mission. Put a dent in it and take it to the mission.
Everybody with those bunkers should go and check the expiration date.
Well, I think they have like the military grade whatever. Yeah. And also, I don't like it when they get too highfalutin. Like when it's the end of the world and we've
you
had
don't
the
want
apocalypse.
Welsh rarebit?
Yeah. And they do that all the time where they'll literally you add hot water and then all of a sudden you have, you know, Chateau whatever or what I'm trying to think.
French onion soup.
Yeah, they'll have all French onion. I'll live off the beans until we
also
can get
Buko
back on the grid. Yeah, I know.
Well, speaking of food, Pizza Hut is going to start selling pizza by the slice. It's huge news
finally.
In the pizza world.
I don't know. That's not a good sign.
Haley, they might need a pitch man again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if what those residuals
are.
Do you
have any contacts over there still?
Probably. You tried the new gimp foot?
Interesting. Why do you think it's a bad sign?
I think it's a bad sign because if you ever go into liquor stores that sell cigarettes individually, that's a bad sign. And I don't know why, but I look at this as just sort of the not-so-distant cousin to that place and that thing.
You're right. It's never an upscale shop that sells, like, cloves or cigarettes just one at a time.
Right. The more little bottles of booze and single cigarettes they sell, the worse the neighborhood.
Too big, too little, both bad for booze, both bad signs for the neighborhood. Huge jugs, bad.
Or the little travelers.
Bad. Yeah. You want a nice fifth of bourbon.
750 milliliter. Yeah. That's when you know you're in a good neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about Education Match. Oh, I love these guys. Get a jump on 2014 with your New Year's resolutions, baby. People with a college degree earn $1 million more over the course of their lifetime versus people who don't. That's $1 million. Call Education Match today, 855-507-0607. Opportunities tailored for your lifestyle and needs, including online and traditional campus programs, certificates, diplomas, associates, bachelor's, master's, even doctoral degrees. Gotta love that. You want to be smart, man. You want to make that money. Call Education Match toll-free today, 855-507-0607. Speak to a dedicated representative and find the right option for you. You got to further your education, man. Execute, baby. Remember, execute, 855-507-0607. Take the first step, put that shitty job in your rearview mirror, man, and let's execute in 2014, baby. All right, baby girl, let's keep going.
So they're testing the new business model by opening two specialty shops in Nebraska and Rhode Island.
Wow, you want to get a slice. You go to Nebraska. Yeah, those Cornhuskers can really fucking make a slice over there. I mean, we've all been to New York. We've all had a slice. We've all had it done right. I blame this country for losing its fucking taste buds and doing everything just by sort of caloric count. Is it Ray's Pizza or John's?
Ray's.
There's both.
Well, there's Ray's, and then in the Village,
John's
I feel
is
like
the more
John's.
Upscale one.
I feel like. Me
Ray's
and Phil Rosenthal went down there in a little mandate once.
The one on 6th Avenue?
Yeah.
John's.
And it's such a simple equation. I mean, you know, it's one thing when, you know, the Soviets were trying to work out their jet engines and they came to visit Britain and they're trying to figure out the alloy compound for the impeller and propeller because it's all exploding, all that kind of stuff. And it's a very difficult time. This isn't that difficult. Just go down there, ask, see what kind of oven they use, get their ingredients, get their dough, start serving it on a paper plate and go, it doesn't get any better than this, and move the fuck on with your life. It's pizza. Why? Why do we fuck it up? It's not that hard. And we should just simulate it and synthesize it. It's not even the water. I think they've figured that one out. What's a big deal? Why can't we do this?
Where are you with the pineapple and Canadian ham?
I like it. I stand by it. I'm not proud of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're not proud of its existence or you're not proud of the fact that you're okay with it?
Here's what I'm saying. I like Canadian bacon and pineapple on a pizza. I don't think I would order a pizza that way. But if I ordered 3 to 5 pizzas, one would be that way. I like Mbop by Hanson. I didn't have a windbreaker made up that said I like pineapple pizza and Mbop by Hanson, but I don't want to be a hypocrite asshole that says, "Oh man, I only listen to the Velvet Underground and eat at John's." I do like it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying I like it, and I'm not going to lie about the things I like.
You also like "I Am Woman" by Helen Reddy.
It's a sweet, sweet song.
I'm just trying to think of
and a positive message. Well,
guilty pleasures we know of yours.
Let's break down pizza with Canadian bacon and pineapple on it. First, it's pizza.
Yep.
That's pretty fucking good. Then it's got Canadian bacon on it. That's pretty fucking good. So all it does is have a grapefruit that is attached. And I said great, not great, but I like pineapple, too. So there's no offense here for me.
Well, salty and sweet is just a great combination.
Fucking great combination. And I will say this to all the haters out there.
Listen up, haters.
Listen, pizza haters. Zaters. Listen, Zaters. Catherine Zaters Jones is out there. When I have a Christmas party or whatever party over here and the pizzas roll out, you get the cheese, you get the sausage, you get the pineapple, Hawaiian style, whatever, and you get the veggie lovers. The pineapple is gone long before the veggie lovers and possibly before the cheese. I don't think it'll go before the pepperoni and not before the sausage, but I think it'll have a run at the cheese and it'll dust the veggie lovers. So
I think you're right. It's been maligned for too long.
That's right.
Come out of the darkness, Hawaiian pizza.
It's really the Alf of pizza. Where people go, I like Alf. You like Alf? Yeah, I thought it was funny. Oh, good. I didn't want to say anything, but I thought it was pretty good.
I'm the only one, but this is good news.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's well-trodden soil saying that Hawaiian pizza is the Alf of pizzas. I know you've heard
it's
it
cliche,
many times
kind of.
Before. It's kind of fucked out, but that's what I stand by.
It's cliche because it's true.
It's true. Now I want a slice of that.
I kind of do, too.
All right. Good. I don't have any haters here. Let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
All right. So pepperoni, sausage, onion, cheese, veggie lovers. Veggie lovers. All right. Let me say something about the veggie lovers. I like veggies, but the tomato, round tomato slices on top of the pizza, which is covered with tomato paste, just makes a weird tomato slick. It's like the tomato wet its bed. Mm-hmm. It's slimy and weird.
It's too late.
And the big chunks of green pepper on there.
Overpower
never
it.
Yes. Yeah. There's a version. Look, okay, let's just say you're vegetarian. Good. There's something called an olive pizza, and there's something called a mushroom pizza. Enjoy one of those, and possibly red onion or something like that. Why do we take the one, have the salad shooter barf on it, and then send it to you? It tastes like shit, right?
Agreed.
It's a salad on top of a pizza.
But I don't like it in that way, not in those proportions.
No. That's right. I'll tell you what. Yes.
There's one thing I tried recently. My friend from Puerto Rico brought it back called banana ketchup that doesn't taste like either of those things, but is great to sort of dip a slice in. It's kind of like this nice brushing.
Your backhand.
A little backhand. You pour it in the box. Mm. So I'm submitting that as another fruit that cooperates with pizza pretty well.
All right. Yeah. I'll try that. Go to meeting, baby. Start your new year off right. Start smart with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. You want to start a new business. You want to take care of your family. All easy to do with GoToMeeting. You can do it from your computer, use your mobile device. You can launch your first meeting in seconds, share the screen, collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, projects, all do it. Just do it in real time, real easy. GoToMeeting, use the webcam, see each other face-to-face, free 30-day trial, no credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right, I told you we're doing a bunch of live shows. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and see when we're rolling into a town near you. I'm going to be signing a lot of bottles of Mangria, and you can go to Carolla Drinks and find that out. Brian's got a book out. I got a book out. Well, it's coming out. You can pre-order it on Amazon. Just go look us up and get us both on the New York Times bestseller list.
I do love when it's customers who bought this also bought. And, you know what I mean? It's one and the other. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like it. So do you the Lord's work. All right. Haley Joel Osment, the movie, the TV show, The Spoils of Babylon, Thursdays, tonight, 10 o'clock, IFC. And we're in the third, and let's keep the party going. Haley, come by anytime since you're in the neighborhood.
Definitely.
Say hi and talk pizza with us.
I will.
So, until next time, this is Adam for Haley, Allison Bald saying mahalo. Here's a pelt. Give me a blowjob.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Tickets and info on all of our live podcasts, stand-up, Mangria events, and more, please visit AdamCarolla.com.